The ladies all up here singing, that was a special song. That Chainbreaker song's a neat song. And Faith, great job. And Anthony, that was anointed special. And so we thank God for it. That song reminds me of the scripture over in Hebrews. It says we have an anchor within the veil, steadfast and sure, and that is Jesus. When you're anchored to him, no matter what storm throws at you, you're going to be all right. Amen. Once you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Certainly good to have everybody here this morning. Did anybody make banana pudding? Look there, Anthony. Not a soul. You should have sang a little better. Well, we're going to talk about prayer this morning, so you just pray. Maybe someone will just mysteriously appear over there. Amen. We kid Anthony. He loves banana pudding. And do what? Yeah. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and we like to always stand in awe of the reading of God's word. If you're able, would you stand with me as we read it? Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 9. And you all know this passage of scripture. I think most of you have been in church any time at all. You learned it when you were a kid. It's what we call the Lord's Prayer. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for what we've already experienced in song and in fellowship of your people. And Lord, through the power of your spirit, I pray that you'd help me to preach your word to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we'd see what you want us to know this morning about prayer. Lord, I pray for each one here this morning. Lord, you know what each one is going through, what they're facing, where they are in their walk with you. Lord, if they even know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that this morning, Lord, you'd save that one that's lost. Lord, you'd heal those that need healing, Lord, and you'd help us to have a heart to pray. We'll give you thanks for what you do. In Christ's name and amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk about prayer this morning, how to pray with power. I think all of us would want to have that. You know, prayer in the will of God is as powerful as God himself. If you stop and think about that, when we pray in the will of God, it is just as powerful as God himself, and he can do anything, amen? With God, nothing is impossible. Our problem is believing. When we pray, do we really believe what we ask for? I read about some Sunday school children in a class, and teacher was having them write a little letter to one of the missionaries that they knew. And the teacher was telling them, "Now, I want you to write a little letter to the missionary and keep it short and everything, because the missionary is very busy, and so don't expect him to write back, but just write him a letter." One little girl's letter read this: "Dear Brother Brown, we're praying for you. We don't expect an answer." You know, the sad thing about it is that's how a lot of us pray. We pray, but we really don't expect an answer. You know, people say, "Well, we need to say a prayer." Folks, let me tell you something. Prayers aren't meant to be said. Prayers aren't meant to be prayed. You don't say a conversation. Saying a prayer is just taking something and reading it off a piece of paper and just letting it go. But praying a prayer is talking with God. It's conversing with God. It's having a conversation with the God of heaven. In our study, what every Christian ought to know, we ought to know how to pray. If you're a child of God, you ought to know how to pray. In Luke chapter 11, which kind of talks about this a little bit, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." So we're going to study it because we want to say too, "Lord, teach us to pray." We're going to look at the guideline and the requirements for it. Really, in this Lord's Prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but really it was the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer, if you want to find that, is John chapter 17, where the Lord prayed before he was in Gethsemane, before he was going to the cross. So we're going to look at what we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's really a prayer for us, because he said, "In this manner, therefore, pray." I want you to notice the first thing here we see in this prayer is prayer's participants. Notice it says this: "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father." Do you know not everybody can call God their Father? You know, there's a lot of people in the world say, well, we're all created by God, so therefore God is the Father of all. He is not the Father of everyone in this world. Let me give you a good example. God created the snakes, but not he's not their father. Amen? God created a lot of things in this world. He's not their father. God is the father of those who have trusted his son Jesus by faith for salvation and been born, adopted in the family of God. Then we can call him our father. See, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never been born again, if you've never trusted him by faith and been adopted in his kingdom, you can't say our father. What you need to pray is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, he said, talking to a bunch of the Pharisees there who were totally opposed to him, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. John said in John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, but as many as received him, that is Jesus, to him, them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. See, when you ask God through Jesus to save your soul and come into your life and forgive your sin, then you're born in the family of God. Then you can say our Father. You know, my son, Tim, I can just imagine, maybe I come in one evening and he says something like this to me. Hey, almighty Father, honored pastor of Fairfield Baptist Church, where have thine journeys taken thou today? I am in much need of financial benefit. If thou wouldst help me, please. Now, Tim wouldn't talk to me that way, would he? So why do we talk to God in such silly jargon sometimes? We think if we don't pray a prayer in King James English, it's not valid. Let me tell you something, how Tim would talk to me. He would do something like this. Hey, Dad, how are you today? What'd you have to do today? Oh, by the way, Dad, I really need some stuff at Walmart. Can you help me? And can we go to Walmart? And by the way, I'm a little low on funds. Could you help me out? Because I'm his dad. That's how we pray to our Father. We don't need to pray some special say a prayer. We need to pour our hearts out to him because he's our Father. And let me tell you something. Not just him, any of my kids that came and said, Dad, I need help. I would do everything in my power to help them. And you would too with your children. Amen? But let me tell you something. My resources are limited, but our Father has unlimited resources. There's prayers participants. I hope you're a participant in this prayer this morning. I remember reading about Robert Todd Lincoln, who was Abraham Lincoln's son, and he had a kind of relationship with his dad at this time. When Abraham Lincoln was president, he was probably 8, 10 years old, something like that. Abraham Lincoln said, son, anytime you need me, you come to me. And it was not uncommon for Abraham Lincoln to be with his cabinet in the Oval Office talking to them, going through some business of the country, and all of a sudden little Robert Todd would barge in there and said, hey, Dad, what's up? What are you doing? I need some help a minute. He never chastised his son for that. If you're a child of God, you have the right to come boldly to the throne of grace, find the mercy, the grace that you need in time of need. Amen? Notice, too, prayer's purpose. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Here's prayer's purpose. God's will would be done on earth. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15, John said this. Now this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Sometimes people say, well, what's God's will for my life? Let me give you three simple things about God's will that each one of you should know and each one of you should be a part of. One is God's will that all men be saved and come to knowledge of truth. If you're not saved, it's God's will that you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hello? That's the reason Jesus died on the cross. That's the reason he rose from the grave, that you could be forgiven, you could know heaven is home, you could be saved. It's God's will that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. It's God's will that you be sanctified. That is, set apart, living a holy, righteous life, a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for his people. It's God's will that we be thankful. And everything give thanks for. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See, that's what, it's simple, really. Be saved, live right for God, and be thankful for what he does for you. It's not complicated. God didn't make complicated. The complicated part was what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. Jesus said in John 15, 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Jesus said, if we're living with him and him living with us and we're following his will, then whatever you ask for is going to be in his will and he's going to give it to you. Hello? Is there a catch to it? No, there's no catch to it. He wants your joy to be full. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, here's prayer's participants. Here's prayer's purpose, to honor the Lord in this world. And his will be done. And then thirdly, there's prayer's provision. Notice what he says in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, a lot of people will say, well, I just pray at night before I go to bed. This prayer is not a prayer to be prayed when you go to bed at night. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Would it make sense if you lay down in your bed at night and you're ready to go to sleep and you say, Lord, give me my bread for today? No, the day's done. It's a morning prayer that Jesus said when you start out the day, Lord, give me the daily bread that I need. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is his riches and glory. He's got an unlimited account on anything. And he's going to supply to all your need. But notice it's need, not wants. Sometimes we get those mixed up. We think, God, well, I want this or I want that or I think I ought to have this. God says, no, I'm going to give you what you need. Sometimes we ask for things that we really don't need. I remember when Tim, my son, was probably about 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old. His big sister got a bike and he wanted a bike. He couldn't even ride a tricycle yet. He'd have killed himself trying to ride a bike. He wasn't ready for a bike. Sometimes we ask God for things, and God says, you really don't need that. You're going to hurt yourself with it. That's really not what you want, and maybe you're just not ready for it. See, our Father provides for his children, and he'll give you what you need when you need it. You know, as I said, my resources are limited, but his are unlimited. According to his riches and glory, that's drawn on his bank account. His bank account is unlimited. There's prayer's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. And then there's prayer's pardon in verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, some people say, was this a sinner's prayer or a saint's prayer? Yeah, I think it's a saint's prayer because he's been going all the way through. Started out with our Father. So this is not a prayer for someone who's lost. This is a prayer for God's children. I heard a preacher say one time, and I'm not going to dispute it, yay or nay, but I think he's pretty close to right. He said, the only prayer that a lost person that God will hear is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you look at it in the scripture, most of the prayers that God answers is for his people, not somebody who's lost. You know, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, if you're lost here this morning, the best prayer you can pray, and maybe the only one God hears, is when you call on him for salvation, trusting in his son, Jesus. You think about the pardon. See, a sinner can't call him his father until he's born again. In Psalm 66:18, you've probably heard this verse many times. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. You know, if I'm living in sin, as a lost person or as a saved person, God says, I'm not going to hear you. Matter of fact, he says in Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. God says, I'm not going to listen to you if you're not doing what I've asked you to do. Notice how he ties this together. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. You know, Jesus said over and over again, you know, that we're to forgive others as they've forgiven us. Are we to forgive them and for what they do as God has forgiven us? See, if there's unforgiveness in our heart, he won't hear us. You got aught in your heart against somebody? Somebody hurt you, somebody wronged you, somebody never apologized, never asked your forgiveness? Let it go. Let it go. Leave it in God's hands. Say, Lord, I forgive them. And I know I've been there and done that. And you're probably going to say, just like me, said, I can't hardly do that. No, we can't in our own strength. But when we say, Father, help me to forgive them as you forgave them. Remember what Jesus, when he hung on the cross and he's dying and they're out there ridiculing and mocking him, he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. They didn't come to ask his forgiveness. They didn't come to apologize. They didn't come and say, forgive me, Father. He said, Father, forgive them. What he was doing, he's storing up forgiveness for them. When they do come and ask for it, it's already there. He's already forgiven you in his heart. And it'll be the same way with us. We have it. Say, Father, I forgive them. And some preacher one time I heard said this, and I think he's dead nut right on this. He said, forgiveness doesn't have a period after it. It has a comma, because you got to keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving till finally God just floods your soul that you finally let it go. Amen? I remember a man several years ago called him about a problem. He was a president of another division, but it was our divisions crossed paths, so to speak, and I called him about the problem. He just absolutely ripped me from one side to the other and told me I was the problem. He attacked me personally. When you know, it's one thing to criticize somebody's performance. When you attack them personally, it hurts. Can I get a witness? And I went outside as a grown man and cried. That's how bad it hurt. That man died a few months later in his sleep. I don't think it had anything to do with that. But anytime I would start talking to somebody about that, that just old anger and hurt would well up. And I'd say, Father, I forgive them. And then all of a sudden he'd come up again. Father, I forgive them. You know, it took me years till I could talk about that. Maybe that's the way with you. Just keep forgiving. God will heal you when you do that. There's prayers participants. Prayer's purpose, to honor the Lord and his will be done on earth. Prayer's provision, he's going to provide what we need. His pardon for us, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here's prayer's protection. Lead us not into temptation. Now, James 1:13 says, let no one of you say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt any man. God doesn't bring temptation in our lives. We're tempted when we're drawn, James goes on to say, when we're drawn away of our own lusts and enticed. 2 Peter 2:9 says, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust until punishment to the day of judgment. You know, this is another reason this is a morning prayer. You wouldn't say, Lord, lead me not in temptation when you're going to bed at night. Hello? No, you get up in the morning and say, Lord, forgive me and help me today. Help me today to not succumb to any temptation. You know, it's not a sin to be tempted. Let me tell you why. Because the scripture tells us that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's what you do with the temptation. If you receive it, you act on it. James said, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when it's finished, brings forth death. See, there's a point there you can say no to it and you're okay. But if you start entertaining, you start taking it and applying it in your life. This is another reason it's morning prayer. I open pray in the mornings when you get up. You know, it'd be a great thing to do, not say this prayer, but to pray it to God and mean it in all your heart. Say, Lord, help me today. Help me to see the traps. You know, Satan is Paul talks about the wiles of the devil. He is a mastermind at deceiving us. And he'll come and he'll trick you and he'll throw things in front of your path. And he knows how to push all the buttons. Can I get an amen? See, there's prayer's participants. Are you a child of God? Can you say, Our Father? Prayer's purpose, that his will be done on earth. Prayer's provision, he'd provide for our needs. Prayer's pardon, he'd forgive us of our sins. Prayer's protection, he'd keep us from the evil one. And here's prayer's praise, verse 13. For yours is the kingdom. See, our Father is king. Hello? Our Father is king. He's Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords. He created me and you and everything in it. See, most of the time our failures are prayer failures. We're promised everything that we need through prayer. Not just things or not just stuff we need, but his strength and his wisdom and his guidance. You know, that's usually where we fail. It's not having stuff. It's the guidance and the wisdom and the strength. God says, you call on me. So let me ask you a question. Why don't we pray more? God has given us such a mighty plan here for praying. Why don't we pray more? Let me give you the last one this morning. Prayer's power. He says in verse 13, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The kingdom, the power, the glory. The one true source of power is not in our bank account. It's not in our job. It's not in our human strength. It's in our Heavenly Father. See, we don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to Hindu gods. We don't pray to Allah. Do you know Allah was a moon god? We pray to Jesus. And you remember what Jesus said before? We always think about the Great Commission. Go ye therefore in all the world. Teach him to observe all things. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know the Great Commission. But the verse before that says this. Jesus said to them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. When he rose from the grave, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and everything in it. Amen. When you call on the name of Jesus, you're calling on the power that created this whole universe and everything in it, and you and I, the power over death, hell, and the grave, the power over everything belongs to Jesus Christ. And when we pray, we're calling on him. Amen. I want to tell you a little story about a man named George McCluskey. You're probably like me when I first saw this thing, this little story, I never heard of George McCluskey, didn't have a clue who he was. But when George McCluskey married and started a family, he decided to invest 1 hour a day in prayer because he wanted his kids to follow Christ. So he started praying every day from 11 o'clock in the morning till 12 noon, praying for his family, especially for his kids to follow the Lord. Said after a time, he expanded his prayers to include his grandchildren and then his great-grandchildren. And every day between 11 and noon, he prayed for three generations. He says as years went by, his two daughters committed themselves to Christ and married men who went into full-time ministry. The two couples produced four boys and one girl. Each of the girls married a minister and the boy became a pastor. The first two children born to this generation, now we're talking great-grandchildren, were both boys. Upon graduation from high school, they decided to go to college together, and they were roommates at college, the two cousins. During the sophomore year, one of the boys decided to go into ministry. The other didn't. He says he undoubtedly felt some pressure to continue the family legacy, but he chose instead to choose an interest in psychology. He got his doctorate in psychology. And he eventually wrote books for parents and families that became bestsellers. He started a radio program, heard on more than 1,000 stations each day. You may have heard of it. It's called Focus on the Family. The man's name was James Dobson. His great-granddad prayed for an hour every day that all his family would be honoring the Lord. I think James Dobson's honored the Lord, don't you? If George McCluskey can do that, and God can do that through him, what can he do with you and I? If we're just willing to pray. Can I challenge you to set aside a time to pray in the morning? Get up a few minutes earlier than you do. Spend time with the Lord. And don't go in and say, hey, Almighty Father. Go in and say, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. And help me to forgive my debts. Forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you pray with me right now? Let's bow our heads. Father, stir our hearts. Lord, you want to do so much in our lives. You want to give us your richest blessings. In the words of Jeremiah, you want us to call on you and you'll show us great and mighty things which we know not. Lord, if we just pray, stir our hearts right now to pray, to spend time with you, that your will would be done in our lives and in this world. We'll give you thanks in advance for what you're going to do. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed just a moment this morning, first question this morning, are you a participant in this prayer? Are you a child of God? Have you been born again? Have you been saved? You might say, what does that mean? That means turning from your sin, because there's none that does everything perfectly right. It's turning from yourself and trusting Jesus as your Savior and asking Him to come into your heart and forgive you and save you, adopt you into His family. If you haven't done that this morning, just a moment, we have the invitation. Just come say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to know heaven as my home. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Then you can be a part of the family to pray to your Father. There's some other decision you need to make. Maybe you've been saved and you've never been baptized. To show others you've trusted in Christ. And you want to follow the Lord in obedience there. How many this morning would just say, Lord, I want you to teach me how to pray that I might honor you? We have this invitation, whatever God's speaking to you about praying, if you want to come and pray for something or someone, or just come and say, Lord, here am I. Teach me to pray. Let's let Him have His will in our lives. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your great mercy, love, and grace. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave us the model prayer. You told us how to pray and what to pray for. And when we pray according to your will, you hear us and you give us the desires of our heart. Let our hearts be one with you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. And amen. Would you stand with me this morning?